What's up, Steelers Nation, and welcome to the Black and Gold Fan Show, a show by a fan for the fans. I'm your host, Chris G. Here we go.
Oh, that's a hell of a show. You need to watch that on a weekly basis.
I'll check it out.
I hear it's pretty good.
What's up, Steelers Nation? Thank you for joining me for the Black and Gold Show. This is episode 7. Man, I appreciate it. Thank you all for coming along. If you're here, please subscribe to the channel and hit that like button. So, first off, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I know we haven't been on since last week, so I didn't get a chance to tell everybody happy Mother's Day. We appreciate all the mothers out there. And again, we love you. We appreciate you. So let's jump right into today's show. Rookie minicamp was going on this past weekend. We had a few moves made. We actually signed Anthony Averett, a cornerback. A little smaller than the cornerbacks we've had or that we brought in lately, or the type that we seem like we've been eyeing lately. He's 5'11", 184, but he does fit a common theme. He's athletic. He's fast. He ran a 4.36 40 at his combine. Also, something else that the Steelers like, and he has a good bloodline. He's a nephew of a former Pro Bowl left tackle, Bryant McKinney. So, you know, Steelers love their bloodlines. They like seeing players who have relatives that were in the NFL already. You kind of know how things go. You know how to be a pro. You have firsthand experience at that. So that's something that's big for him as far as the Steelers being attracted to him. Now, he was drafted in the fourth round in 2018 by the Baltimore Ravens. Played at Alabama. He was with the Ravens for 4 years. I mean, spent his whole rookie contract there. After he played with the Ravens, he went to the Raiders in 2022. And then on to the 49ers and the Lions. But he didn't play while with the 49ers and Lions due to injury. I'm not exactly sure what those injuries were, but it's something that just kept him off the field. So I'm pretty sure that is a big reason why he's available now. I know teams are scared of his injury history this past season. I believe that's something he said also, that teams were scared off by his injury history, but the Steelers weren't. So they're willing to take a chance on him. And I don't blame them. He fits that mold of that CB2 like they have in Dante Jackson. I mean, they're very identical players. One thing that Averett has, though, he has played in the AFC North for 4 years, and he knows AFC North ball. We love players that know what it's like to play in the AFC North, and it's a different brand of football than you see in the rest of the NFL. So that's huge, having a player with that experience of playing in the AFC North. For his career, he's had 114 tackles, 3 interceptions, 23 passes defended. I mean, he's played. He has a lot of playing time. He's played 51 games, has started 27 of them. His best season was in 2021, where he had 3 interceptions, 11 passes defended, and 54 total tackles. He's mostly an outside corner. I think he barely played in the slot, very little in the slot. And again, like I said, he's probably brought in to back up Dante Jackson. Like I said, he's a similar player, a similar body type. And again, we like those AFC North players, especially like coming from the Ravens. You know, if a player started for the Ravens for a while, they're a pretty decent player. I mean, they're a team that's in the same mold of us, physical, aggressive, usually play sound football. So as much as we hate the Ravens, we also respect them, and we know what they're about. We know what their players bring to the table. So it's not a very flashy pick, not something that's going to have you doing black backflips over, but a nice backup. We don't know what we're going to have in Corey Trice and Darius Rush, so another veteran backup to put in that room. Now, that's a very young cornerback room. Trice and Joey Porter Jr. and Rush are all in their second year. And you have Dante Jackson as a lone vet in that room. The one that's going to be contributing and definitely going to make the team. It's the only one in that room that's played in the NFL for some years. So to bring in another one can only help. So now to some of our rookies. Choi Fautanu. He lined up at right tackle, I believe, all of his rookie minicamp. I mean, I like that. Actually, I love that. I mean, if he's going to play right tackle in the season, put him there now. I mean, I hope he plays right tackle for the season. So why not get him there early, start him there now? I mean, get as many reps as possible as you can with him at right tackle since he's played so much left tackle. I mean, it can only help. The more reps he gets, the more comfortable he'll get on the other side, having to switch his footwork and all that. I mean, it gives him the fastest track to start also. Because if he's playing right tackle, I mean, there's nobody there to beat out. Because if he's playing right tackle, you're moving Roger Jones to left tackle. If Fautanu was playing, if they brought him in to play left tackle, I'm not sure if he starts right away. I mean, we have Dan Moore, who is a three-year starter. It'll be tough to get him off that starting lineup for a rookie. Even though how talented a rookie is, you know the Steelers don't like throwing their rookies in right away. So I think the fastest track for Fautanu to start is him playing right tackle. So we can have Broderick Jones on left at the left tackle. Now that should make Dan Moore the swing tackle, but I don't know if he can play swing tackle. I don't know if he can play on the right side. I mean, he said that he doesn't like playing on the right side, but that's something he is going to have to do if he wants to remain on this team, in my opinion. He's going to have to figure out how can he play on both sides. It's, you can't have a backup that just plays only one side. I mean, I just don't think that makes sense. We can find someone else to do that. Someone else that can play both sides. I don't see the benefit of keeping a tackle at that price that can just play on one side of the line that's not starting. But I think they should let him work out on the right side. The same thing as he like Choi Fautanu. Get him adjusted. Let him work on his footwork and get as many reps as he can on that right side. Similar to Mason McCormick. He was lined up at right guard during the rookie minicamp. Same thing. Get him working on that right side. He's played, I think, just about solely right left guard in college. So he's a player that those interior linemen, especially the backups, I mean, they're going to be playing on both sides if they need to. They need to be able to play on both sides. But any backup tackle, guard, you need to be able to play both sides. And like I said, it doesn't make much sense for you to only play on one side of the ball or one side of the line. Like a Nate Herbig, I believe he can play both sides and he can snap. Also, I think McCormick can snap. But get these guys on both sides of the ball, both sides of the line, get them as comfortable as possible and allow them to be flexible. I mean, that'll just help the whole team in general. Now, McCormick, I think he's somebody that we're looking at for the future. I don't see him having much playing time this year. Excuse me. Unless something happens to one of our starters. And also, I don't like the idea that a lot of people want to just push James Daniels out the door after the season. I mean, he's a quality guard. He's played good football for us, and I don't expect that to stop. I mean, he's still young. Now, if his contract ends up being too much for the Steelers to pay, I can see them moving on from him. I mean, they'll have no choice. And that's a great reason why to bring somebody like McCormick in. But I'm not one of those people that are just ready to see James Daniels go. I like to see this line stay together and grow together as much as possible. And when it's his time, it's his time. And as far as McCormick, he'll get in when it's his time to play. I mean, he can learn as much as he can while sitting behind two great guards. Soak it up. Learn as much as you can. Like I said, when it's your time, it'll be your time. Now to our next rookie, Peyton Wilson, who had an interesting camp. They weren't playing real football, but he, in essence, had the green dot on during camp, which means he was calling the defense. Now, for a rookie on his first and second day at minicamp, that's impressive. I mean, it shows that he has high football IQ, He's a mature player. Obviously, he's a little older. Like, most of our draft picks are a bit older. And I kind of like that because they'll be more ready to play than, say, somebody that's coming out that's only 20 or 21. A lot of these guys are 23, going to be 24. A lot of players in this class are a little older. You have the COVID group, I like to call them, where they had that extra year in college, so they're just a little bit older. But, man, you could tell that Peyton Wilson really got into the playbook. I mean, he really took advantage of the opportunities he has without the whole team being there, with just the rookies there and some invited players there. He was able to run the show, basically, from that inside linebacker spot. Because we know when the whole team gets there, Landon Roberts will most likely wear that green dot. I'm not sure if Patrick Queen will wear it. So I see a Landon Roberts wearing a green dot. But when you have somebody like Peyton Wilson that's able to call the defense already, I mean, I heard he was checking the defense out of plays that were called based on the offense. I mean, that's what you love to see. You love to see a player come in with a high football IQ that goes along with the athleticism that he has and the talent that he has. I mean, it's showing that he's a complete player. That'll make him somebody that you want to get on the field earlier. So, I mean, sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, it seems like he's doing and saying nothing but the right things. I mean, everything that he's done so far, it's just his arrow is just going up and up. That you want to see, up and to the right. So I'm excited to see what he's going to bring this year. Because I don't think he's going to be a starter, but he's somebody that should see a lot of playing time, especially on those passing downs. He's somebody that if it's a passing down, I highly, highly anticipate him being on the field. That's the type of player he's going to be. He's going to fly around. He's going to be able to cover tight ends. He's going to be able to cover those big slot receivers, backs out the backfield. I mean, he's going to be a great player for us, I believe. So I just hope he stays healthy and just keep this train going, because I like the way we're going. The next rookie we have is Roman Wilson. Now, Roman Wilson, I anticipate him playing primarily in the slot. He didn't give really any indication of where they had him lined up during camp. I believe they probably had him both inside and out, but I see him playing somebody that's mostly in the slot. If he does play on the outside, matter of fact, I think they did say something about him playing outside but off the ball. So I'm sure that's one of the things that he's going to need to work on is his release off the line. Like, he might have a little trouble early in his career with getting off the line with some of these corners in the NFL. I mean, he's not a small receiver, but he's not big at all. And when I say small, I mean like a Calvin Austin type. I believe Roman Wilson is 5'10", 5'11". He said he's 5'11 and 3/4", but he's probably just 5'10", 5'11", 185. So he's about the same size as Deontay Johnson. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. They think Roman Wilson's just really tiny, but that's not the case. He's about the same size as DJ. But yeah, him working, getting off the ball. He's been working on his route running and camp, being explosive. He's been working with Coach Azani on his releases and staying low out of breaks, is what he's been saying. So I'm excited to see what he's going to bring. He brings a different type of intensity and attitude to that wide receiver room we're going to need. And somebody like Coach Azani is the same way. He's bringing a different type of intensity and attitude that this offense is going to need. We want to play a physical brand of football, like Arthur Smith said. And bringing in players that fit that mold only help. Bringing in other coaches that fit that mold only help. So we just keep it going. And I think I'm going to like what Roman Wilson is going to bring to this team. I think he's going to elevate some of the other receivers in the room, especially somebody like a George Pickens. Like, Pickens is somebody that's very competitive. And I don't see him letting a rookie come in and outdo him. So I expect his level of play to increase even more going into this third season. Another player I wanted to highlight is Beanie Bishop. Beanie Bishop is a player that seems like the coaches are very high on. I mean, even before the draft, they've been talking high about him. During the draft, he was talked about. And obviously, right after the draft, they signed him as an undrafted free agent. But as it stands right now, he probably is on the fast track to being our slot corner. Now, things may change. We may bring in somebody else. Like, there's a Patrick Peterson still out there. Shannon Sullivan is still out there. So there are some other options at slot if you don't want to go with the rookie. But, man, he's somebody that he has that, like, Mike Hilton-type vibe to him. But he's just faster and better in coverage. I mean, he ran 4.39, 40 in his combine. Remember, he was very productive in college. I believe he led the nation in passes defended. So a productive player. I mean, he's physical. He's not big, but he's physical. He's not afraid to come down and tackle. So I see him being that nickel corner on passing downs. You can get somebody like Sean Elliott as your big nickel. So Beanie Bishop is somebody that might carve a rollout on this team as an undrafted free agent. And we love seeing those stories like that. Like, you have a Jalen Samuels was an undrafted free agent. Now look how he's turning out. James Harrison wasn't drafted. Look how he turned out. And you have players like Terrence Garvin made a career for himself being a rookie tryout. So, man, you have players that come from out of the draft and make names for themselves. So I'm excited to see what Beanie Bishop is going to bring to this team. And the last rookie is John Rhys Plumlee. I think he has a chance to make the practice squad. I don't see him making a 53-man roster, but I think he can make the practice squad as an athlete. I mean, he's brought in to play quarterback. I believe he will be a quarterback for the Steelers. But I think he's somebody that we can really use, like, on scout team, especially when we play teams like the Ravens or teams like that have mobile quarterbacks. Because Plumlee is an athlete. Like I say, I believe he ran like 4.5. He's fast. Played baseball, football. So he's an athlete. He had over 1,000 rush yards a few times in his career. He's played receiver. And he also throw the ball and played quarterback. So he's the perfect type of scout player to prepare us to go up against these dual threat quarterbacks. So it's definitely somebody I see that probably can make the team on the practice squad. If you made it this far in the video, please hit that like button, hit that subscribe. Remember, leave a comment. I love to interact with anybody, and share the video. So Najee Harris, and we talked about him last week. He had his fifth year option decline, but there are rumors that he doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh past the season. Now, when that first came out, I didn't believe it, but then his agent finally came out and said that it wasn't true. I personally think that the Steelers may be working on an extension for Najee, maybe like a two-year extension to let him play a few more years in Pittsburgh. I believe he does have a lot to give to the Steelers. He's given a lot to the Steelers already. I don't think he's somebody they just want to dump after his rookie contract is up, especially if he has a good year this year. And I don't think he's going to cost a whole lot. I mean, I don't think they're going to offer him, or I don't think he's going to demand somewhere up like $8, $9, $10 million. He may be able to get Najee for like $5 or something like that. Now, this is just me talking. I'm not a cap guy or anything like that. That's just my opinion. But I do think that Najee is somebody that he likes being in Pittsburgh. Obviously, the coaches like him. Definitely Tomlin likes him. But I think they're going to find a way to keep him around a little bit longer. I don't see him signing a long contract or anything like that. And if he does get an extension, I think that'll be the last one. I don't think they'll keep him past that, especially where your running backs are in the NFL. But I do think that the Steelers will find a way to keep Najee around for a little bit longer. I like that tandem they have with him and Jaylen Warren. I mean, that's a perfect fit for each other. They balance each other out. I mean, they work great off each other. I think that's something they can keep around so they want to keep going. And speaking of extensions, Cam Hayward. Alan Saunders mentioned that Cam Hayward wants to play three more seasons. And I believe the Steelers are working towards that extension. Now, I believe there's a few reasons why they may be working on an extension for Cam. One, he has a very high cap hit this year. I think that's something they need to get down. And if Cam does want to play, you know, obviously you extend him. I think last year was a rough year for Cam, and he was basically playing on one leg. But at the same time, he was still effective. I mean, he wasn't as effective as he could be or as he once was. But I don't think he's fallen off that cliff yet. I still think Cam has a few good years left in him. I don't know if he has 3 years left in him. But, I mean, we've seen defensive linemen play well into their 30s. I mean, look at somebody like Calais Campbell. I mean, he played at a high level for a long time. Also, if you extend Cam and lower that cap hit, you're creating more cap space for if you need to make a move or two. I mean, there's still corners we want that are out there. We still may need a receiver. There's somebody like a Justin Simmons is still out there. So the more cap space you have, man, you allow your team to grow or improve. You give room to be able to make some more moves if you need to. So I think signing Cam to an extension is a good idea, and I think it's something that most likely will happen. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see if it does, but I do think keeping Cam around for a few more years would definitely benefit the Steelers, especially him being a leader that he is. I mean, he's been the heartbeat and the soul of this team for years now, and him being in that locker room it means something to the Steelers. It means something to the city. It means something to the team. So I definitely believe that's somebody they want to keep around. I mean, he's a good example. You have somebody like George Pickens, who's on the offensive side, but definitely somebody that can learn from him. And we're starting to see GP doing more things off the field. He just had a football camp. I'm not exactly sure where it was, but I saw that he just hosted his first football camp. And that's great for GP, man. That's the things you want to see. Like, you love seeing what these players can do on the field, but what can he do off the field? Like, with the platform that you have, how can you make a difference? And him doing something like that, man, that's great to see. Now, also, working with others on the field, improving other people, he's working on himself. I mean, there's videos of him out there working with the route guy. With him, I saw him with Deontay Johnson and Steven Sims. I mean, that's, as a Steelers fan, you love to see players put in extra work, and especially players getting together. You have somebody like Deontay Johnson, who obviously one of the best route runners in the league. Why not follow what he's doing as far as on the field? You know that a part of your game that needs help is running routes. You have one of the best route runners in the league. Let me see what he's doing over the summer. Let me see what he's doing in the offseason so I can get right. And I love that GP is out there working with them. I mean, it shows a lot that he wants to improve his game. I mean, if GP becomes a good route runner, oh, man. He doesn't have to be an elite route runner. If he just improves his route running, he can be dangerous. He can be very dangerous. We already see what he can do. I mean, you throw a ball up to him, it's not 50-50. It's more like 80-20. I mean, this guy comes down with everything. He's a legit deep threat, so you're going to have to respect him. But now, if he's able to run routes, especially more underneath, I mean, he's dangerous. He'd be unpredictable. You're not just going to be able to just stay over top of him and hope you don't get beat deep. Because now, he can hit you with, like the route guy said, hit you with slants and hitches. So, I mean, I hope it pays off. Well, I'm looking forward to see what this year is going to bring for him. See what kind of improvements we're going to see. And going to this new year, I mean, he needs to have a big year. Somebody like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are going to be looking to him a lot. I mean, he's going to be that number one target. And speaking of work ethic and Russell Wilson, I mean, it reports that the Steelers haven't seen this type of work ethic since Antonio Brown. I mean, I've always heard that Russell Wilson is a workhorse, somebody that trains very hard and works on his craft and does everything he can to get better, but it's something you love to see on your team. I mean, as much as we talk about what Antonio Brown may or might not get into off the field, nobody can ever deny the type of football player he was and how hard he worked. I mean, if everybody on the team had the same work ethic as him, oh man, we have three or four more Super Bowls by now. So with Russ, hopefully that work ethic that he has can rub off on some of the other players, especially these younger players. Because like the old vets have been here for a while. I mean, they have their own routines, their own regimens. They probably do things outside the Steelers facility and things like that. But someone like Russ who's coming in new, I'm pretty sure he's going to want to be seen by these younger players. He's going to want to set that example. I mean, he's a leader. I mean, he's been visible everywhere. I mean, you see him at different games. He's at Penguins games. He's at Pirates games. He's at different events in the city of Pittsburgh. He's came in and off to a running start, showing his presence. He's around. I mean, you feel him in the city. Like when we first signed Russ, we said that he's the type of player you feel his energy in the city. And I'm not from Pittsburgh. I'm not in Pittsburgh. But you can see like the vibe that's going on with Russ. Like he's just everywhere. I mean, you see him everywhere in that city. And maybe something like that, hopefully, a rub off on Justin Fields also. Now, some things about him came out in the news this week. Reports were saying that quarterback room in Chicago was very toxic. There was a CBS report that came out about saying that his quarterback room was very toxic. Said that him and Foles didn't get along and things like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, if it is, I mean, Fields was young. Came into a situation where he's been the man ever since high school, and he gets to NFL and it's a whole new world. Now I've heard nothing but good things about Justin Fields from ex-teammates and things like that, saying that he was one of the best teammates they had. Like they're all hated to see him go. When they found out he was traded, I mean, a lot of his teammates weren't happy about it. I mean, I'm sure they understood why. They knew Caleb Williams was coming. But they weren't happy that their leader was going to another team. It's like that was their friend, their teammate. I mean, it's somebody they went to war with. And he laid it out on the line every time he stepped on the field. And along with reports coming out of him not being the best teammate, now his coaches are coming out, or former coach, I don't know who it was saying that basically he wasn't a good player. Couldn't read the field and couldn't process anything like that. I mean, a lot of that comes down to coaching. I mean, sure, he didn't have as much trouble with that in college, but college is a different game than the NFL. If you have a quarterback that they say he's missing routes, or he's looking everywhere so he doesn't see anything, I mean, that's a coach to work with that. Sometimes you might have to simplify things, cut the field in half. Give them easy reads. Give them easy targets. Just find ways to be creative and get the most out of your players. So a lot of that, man, I can blame on coaches. I'm not taking the blame completely off of Fields, because obviously he plays a part in how he plays the game and how he learns and how much he puts into improving. But coaches have to take accountability for some of the things their players do and the development of their players. Now, again, I'm not saying it's just the coach's fault, but I don't like the fact that now when Fields is gone and all that's behind them, that they're coming out and saying all this negative things about him. And they won't even come forward and say who it is. It's an anonymous report. So, I mean, it might just rub me the wrong way a little bit. I said maybe because I've always been a Justin Fields fan, so maybe I'm a little biased, a little defensive, but I also don't like when coaches or players anonymously come out and talking bad about somebody else after they're gone. If you weren't able to say it then, don't say it now. Now, last thing we're going to talk about, man, it's on a positive note. Isaac Seumalo was named the most underrated player in the Steelers by PFF. And quote, they're saying, Seumalo was part of arguably the NFL's best offensive line while in Philadelphia. And although he did not get off to a great start in Pittsburgh, he soon provided why the Steelers signed him as a free agent in 2023. Excluding the first 2 weeks, he earned a 78.3 PFF overall grade, which ranks sixth among guards during that span. Man, congrats, Isaac Seumalo. It's not an award, but I mean, he's getting recognized. I mean, he's been somebody that's been constant on this offensive line. I mean, he's been a quiet assassin. He doesn't say much, comes to work, does his job, goes home. I think not until the end of the season, he finally broke out and stepped up as a vocal leader. I mean, he's been a leader as far as leading by example and being a good player. But towards the end of the season, he really became a vocal leader. So I'm excited to have players like Seumalo on the team. Like, we need those vets that are experienced, have been in winning organizations, that bring that leadership, especially with this offensive line, because it's going to be so young. You may have two rookies starting on this offensive line. And you have somebody like Zach Frazier that'll play alongside of him, along with Roger Jones on the other side. I mean, this line can be a great offensive line, but I mean, it's going to take time. We have to expect growing pains during the season. This line's not going to come out and be a top 10 offensive line week one. We got to give it time to grow, give it time to gel, and give it time to build. But I think they will get to the point where they're going to be a line to recognize. And especially next year. I don't want to look too far, but I feel like next year they'll definitely have that potential to be a top 10 line in the league if things pan out the way I think they should. So I'm excited for it. So to end it, tonight we have the NFL schedule is being released. I mean, there's already hints of games being leaked out. I do believe the Steelers will be playing the Falcons for their opener in Atlanta. I mean, as soon as I saw enough of the right people saying that the game was going to be in Atlanta, I already started looking at flights. So I will be in Atlanta. I mean, coming from Houston to Atlanta is not a bad flight. And I have one of my best friends live in Atlanta, so it all works out perfect. So if you're in Atlanta and you see me, say hi. Man, I'd like to meet some of Steelers Nation out there. But that's all I have today. Man, I appreciate you listening. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave any comments, and please share the video. Until next time, stay blessed, stay positive. Here we go.